sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. A lot going on in these verses, and we're looking at Paul. We know Paul is said to be an example for born-again believers to follow, a pattern, if you will, of somebody that had the flesh to battle and yet succeeded and ended in God's will. Praise the Lord. That gives us hope. The same Paul that said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," that said, "I am the chiefest of sinners." He didn't say that I was, and he didn't say that I, wretched man that I was. He didn't say that, he said that I am. We can look at that and realize that by the grace of God, the strength of God, the power of God, through the mercy of God, by the words of God and the leading of the Spirit of God, we can not only be in God's will, we can end in God's will. And in verse number 2, I want to look at a few things real quick here today. And it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." The grace of God. You've heard it said before. Probably 100 preachers have said this. You can't have the peace of God without the grace of God. But we see the grace of God, and that's undeserved favor. And God dumped that grace out on me when I called on Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive me and save me. He gave me that undeserved favor. He gave me the merit of Jesus Christ on my account. He gave me His righteousness. He gave me the debt that was paid by God's blood. He applied that to my account when I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. It's all grace. It's all grace. And if we're careful as Bible believers, we'll get into this thing about, well, we've got to do, and we've got all these things. We have to have these plans. We have to have these programs. We have to go through these motions. And, you know, like I said, with service time, you know, our Sunday school starts generally around 10 o'clock. I'm not sitting up here at 9:59 going, "Oh, Lord, we got to be on schedule," because we got to do this exactly the same way every week. We don't want to be that way. We got to realize it's God's grace. He allows us some room to live in His grace. That being said, I believe the book, and I believe we ought to live by it. We ought to submit to it. We ought to go by it. And we ought to trust it as our final authority, not just in word, but in deed. Amen? And I'm all for doing right. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to stand up here. I don't want to do everything. And make, you know, I'm going to give you guys a set of parameters you have to live by. And if you don't live by, then by golly, I'll kick you out of this church. And if I don't do exactly what you think I ought to do, you ought to kick me out of this. That's ridiculous. But we've got a Bible, and if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you have the grace of God. You have undeserved favor. If you've done nothing for the Lord after salvation, you still go to heaven, but you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day. And you're going to wish that you had done something to have something to lay back at His feet. Because for the first time in our lives, the first time in our existence, we're finally going to realize how worthy He is. And if anything comes through that fire, it's going to be laid at His feet. We're going to say, "You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb to be praised." And anything that comes through that fire is by the grace of God. We won't be able to pat ourselves on. Hey, finally, you don't have to worry about whether you get a rotator cuff injury. Well, will I be able to pat myself on the back? Because that's what the flesh wants to do. Finally, we'll be freed from this flesh, and He'll get the honor and glory He deserves. But God's grace and God's peace, and I know we preach the messages on, you know, peace be still, and God calms the storms, and God, He does all these outward things that we can see, and we talked about furnishing the apartment. We've done all these things He could see, and boy, I can go over and sit on that couch and say, God gave us this for this purpose. He's showing up, and He's doing something in this church. He's answering our prayers. So what about the church down the street? Well, I hope they're doing right. If they're not, that's not my business. I just don't want you to get sucked into their mess if they're not doing right. And I do preach against that stuff. But the thing is, God is doing something here. He's doing something in us. And if we'll just fall in line and get in line with His Word and His Spirit, He'll do something through us. Amen? So if we only had 200 people, well, if we had 200 people, we'd just have more bickering and fighting. Amen? But if you have 10 or 1,000 and they're all in God's will, God's going to show up and do something. His grace. The peace of knowing that God is involved in what's going on. Amen? It's not just the storms. The peace of knowing that you're in His will. The grace of God, the peace of God, verse 3, says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. God of mercies. You know what, I was thinking the other day, I was riding, I think a lot on the lawnmower because that's the only time I really get, you know, my mind is just cutting grass. It's me and the Lord. Me and the Lord are cutting grass, amen? That's all that's happening. And if you've seen my lawnmower that I had for 15 years, you'd know the Lord was always cutting grass with me. He held the wheels on that thing, kept the blades cutting, and it still had the 18-year-old battery that when I bought it, the guy said it was going to need a new one. God just cut grass with me every once in a while, amen? Every time. I'm back cutting grass. And I think, you know what we miss out on? What we're missing? Where we're falling short. We're missing things. We're not where we should be. We're way away from where Christianity was 100 years ago, and Christianity has never been exactly where it needs to be. I mean, nobody's ever submitted fully to God, and a whole church full of people always submitted to God. What are we missing? You know what we're missing? A lot of times we're missing mercy. I mean, we got the mercy of God. But see, God's going down through a list here by the Holy Spirit through Paul, and He's giving you a list of things, and He's talking about, He's bragging on Himself, His grace, His peace, His mercy, His comfort, and we miss not accepting the mercy, but showing the mercy. Showing the mercy. God has given you a chance, if you're still breathing His air, He's given you a chance to learn how to love like He loves. Amen? And you know what God does to me all the time? He's been doing a lot more since I've been pastoring a church. But He always does this to me. And I'll vote me out tomorrow. I'm going to preach today, though. But listen to me. When my mind's not right, my heart's not right, and somebody does something that just gets under my skin, and the Lord always says, yeah, but what do you think you do to me? I might be the only one He talks to like that, but He does that to me quite often. What do you think you do to me? And what did I do to you? What did I do for you? I've done nothing against you. I don't deserve when you were out of my will. You can't justify going against me. Anybody that does anything against another man can find a way to justify it and say, well, there's a problem with them here, there's a problem with them there. But the truth is, God gave us grace and mercy when there's no way we could deserve it. And He will allow you to have opportunities to learn to love like He loves by somebody just working your nerve, getting in your craw, just working you over. And you, if you can get to the point where you say, hey, Jesus Christ died for me, I should be burning in hell right this second, and God had hands full of mercy that He gave me and continues to give me. And you can look at somebody else and say, hey, you know what? I'm nobody. I deserve worse than you could ever do to me. And show them some mercy. Show them some mercy. And you know what else you could do? Somebody that you're not necessarily in the best relationship, fellowship with, you could be a comfort to them. You could be a comfort to them. These bozos online, I say that with all due respect, amen? But these bozos online that are out there eviscerating each other all the time, and the Bible believers out there, and there's a couple guys on there that just find fault in everything that everybody's doing, and apparently they're the standard, and everybody else is doing everything wrong, and there's always, even if it looks right, they're going to find something that's not right, and they're going to pick at that, and preachers devouring other preachers. And you got a mess of things going on here, and the preachers devouring other preachers, and you're lost people watching this mess.
Right. Amen.
And I'm all for, if somebody's preaching something that's against the Word of God, I'm all for saying, hey, look, that's not the Bible, and giving somebody scripture and saying, this is what God really says. I'm all for that. But when a brother is going wrong, if he's going wrong, we're supposed to want to restore that brother. We're supposed to want to show mercy and grace and pray for that brother, not make it public and say, hey, the whole world, see, this brother's wrong on this point. And the next thing you know, you got two people out there looks like fools, a bunch of lost people that are going, hey, I'm trying to figure out what truth is, and nobody has it. I just bring this up because these two guys happen to be in our circle of belief. And one guy is a humble guy that seems to be doing right, and he loves people and is trying to do right. And he's just like me. He's not 100% perfect on everything. Well, the other guy's already decided he's 100% perfect on everything. And I don't see one call to pray for the other guy. All I see is this guy eviscerating the other guy. And the other guy struggling because he's being attacked constantly by a brother in Christ. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's what happens to most churches. That's why there's a First Baptist Church, a Second Baptist Church, a Third Baptist Church, a Fourth Baptist Church, a Fifth Baptist Church, and oh, let's stop there. Fifth's the number of death. Let's stop there. Amen? And then you got, like we said before, you got Hope Baptist Church, New Hope Baptist Church, and they break up and make No Hope Baptist Church. You got all these things going on because people don't know how to love each other. They don't know how to forgive each other. They don't know how to show mercy. They don't know how to... They accept the grace of God. They accept the mercy of God. They thank God for everything that's been given to them because it's all about them. Hey, we're Americans. It's about me, 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 me. But the truth is, if you want to make it about the Lord, you're going to make it about somebody else. He didn't give you anything to keep. He gave you something to pass on. And you say, well, he gave me my salvation. No, he didn't give it to you to keep. He kept it for you. Amen. If you had to keep it, you'd go to hell. Just like I would. But if we could learn to show the grace and the mercy and the comfort that God shows, we could have peace. We could have peace in ourselves. You know, you can't have peace with other people if you don't have peace in yourself. Why is the whole world running around screaming, peace, peace, peace? And there ain't nothing like peace going on out there. Nothing like it. We're bringing in the kingdom. Yeah, and the Antichrist is happy about that. They're bringing in a kingdom. And because of what man's doing, God's going to have to come back and he's going to set up his own kingdom. Praise God. But all man's getting better and better and better. And the most intolerant people are the people that hate Jesus Christ in that book. And I guarantee you, only God himself could convince me. You're not going to show me enough Bible to convince me that they're not going to set up a religious system that accepts everything as normal. And they're going to sing Kumbaya as the world's rocking and reeling to hell after we're out of here. Probably be a sodomite leading the whole mess. Amen. And they're going to say it's good. Finally, we have peace. We can just all get along. But they don't really have peace because the one, the Prince of Peace, they're against. And you can't have peace being on the wrong side of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you won't have peace being on the wrong side of the Word of God. When that book talks to you and tells you to get right and you go against that, you will not have peace. I don't know how many times over the years I found peace right up in an old-fashioned altar. He said, well, I find it right here in my seat. Well, I know God made me walk to the altar a few times because I'm worse than you are. Amen. You know what happened when I walked to the altar? He made it serious. I got serious. And when I got serious, I decided, I don't care who thinks what or what thing. I don't care about anything except me and the Lord getting right. Amen. I got right in my seat before. Amen. But other times, the Lord's like, why don't you go forward? Why don't you go forward? Well, Lord, you know, I can get right here. Oh, you could, but if you were right, you wouldn't be arguing with me. Amen. 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 We're going to have a men's meeting. I pray that every man that shows up will hit their knees at one time or another and just ask God to give them strength. I'm not talking about we got a bunch of sinners coming in. They all need to get off booze. They all need to get off this. I'm talking about just saying, Lord, this place is a mess, and I need you. And then walk out these doors trusting God like they've never trusted him before. Amen? I think it'd be good if we did that today. Amen? God of all comfort. 5-7, it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring and the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. The fellowship of the sufferings. You know what Paul's talking about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10? He's talking about that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And Paul's talking to a bunch of people here. He's saying, look, we're going through some things. We're going through some sufferings. You know what those sufferings are for? You're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You say, well, boy, I'm going through some stuff, and it's terrible. You know what's really terrible? People go through stuff without Jesus Christ. People on their way to hell go through things. And what they go through here on this earth, when the people on their way to hell that reject truth, that maybe nobody even give them the truth, it might be one of your neighbors. You might be on the way to hell, and nobody's given the truth. I mean, you might, you know, somebody might walk by and say, well, I've got Jesus. What would Jesus do? Oh, well, you know, I go to church, you ought to go to church. But nobody's ever sat down with them and said, hey, look, the Bible says, for all sin to come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And sinners die and go to hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's offering you a gift. He's offering you a gift that's free. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe Jesus Christ died for your sin. You believe you're a sinner. We're all sinners. You believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose again, and you call on him. That Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not maybe, it's not possibly, it's not hopefully. 1 John 5:13 says you can know you're going to heaven. You don't have to go to the Methodist church. You don't have to go to the Lutheran church. You don't have to get dunked in the Church of Christ water. You can know you're going to heaven right now. Nobody ever sat down and told them that. You know those people that don't know that? They get cancer. They lose loved ones. They have financial problems. They have marital problems. Just like everybody else in the world. Except that's the best they're ever going to have it. They're going to die and go to hell one day. They're going to burn forever. And we've got the truth. We've got the truth. I don't want to see my neighbors at the great white throne of judgment and them going, that guy never told me. My neighbors are Amish. They don't believe what we believe, but they know what we believe. And they know what the Scripture says, because I give it to them. But I've got neighbors down the road I've never talked to. I live out in the country. We say neighbors. A neighbor could be 2 miles away. I'm saying we've got an opportunity. Why are we here? We're just here to see what happens with the next election. God's not, he's not even up one night worried about that. He's wondering whether or not you're going to tell your neighbors about Jesus Christ. Not the generic Jesus. I mean, everybody's got generic Jesus. Everybody got. Oh, Elon Musk got generic Jesus. They did an interview with him, and he goes, well, I guess if Christ is saving people, I'm in. Well, that's no faith. That's not trusting anything. I hope he gets saved. Him and Biden and Pelosi and all of them. I hope they all get saved. It's one thing saying, well, our country's going to hell, look at it go. But it's another thing thinking of somebody burning in fire forever. I don't care who they are or what they've done. God died. Jesus Christ died for them. God shed his blood on Calvary. And we've got the answer. We've got God's grace. We have his peace because we're saved. We have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. You can have the peace of God if you're showing the mercy of God and giving comfort to people that maybe you think don't deserve it. Because let me tell you something, none of us deserve it. None of us deserve it. The fellowship of his sufferings. There are people going through things that, hey, I'm preaching to people in this church that are going through things. We're all going through different things. There are people going through tremendous trials that have tremendous obstacles. And God will walk with you through those times, and he will allow you to become more like Jesus Christ so you can show that grace and mercy and peace and comfort to somebody that doesn't have it. Amen. You think it was by mistake that we ended up with two people in here that were older men that had the same exact problem, that had the same exact ministry? You know what God's doing? He's taking two men that love him and making them more like Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing. You know what he does with us, all of us? Go ahead, Satan. You want to take a shot at that guy? Go ahead. But I'm going to bring him through. If he'll just trust me, I'm going to bring him through. I'm going to bring her through. And they're going to come through as gold. They're going to be more like me when they come through that fire. They're going to be more like me when this is over. Oh, their flesh is going to suffer some things. They're going to go through some loss. They're going to have some heartache, some heartbreak. But when it's all said and done, they're going to be more like Jesus Christ. The fellowship of his sufferings. See, Paul, for him to have that power, he had to go through the sufferings. Think about what Paul did before he got saved. That happened to Paul after he got saved. The people that he was persecuting Christians with were after Paul. Amen. People that had the ability at any second to take Paul's life were always looking at him going, I can get rid of that joker. He's working my nerve. Amen. And you know what Paul learned? He learned about grace. He learned about mercy. He learned about comfort. My grace is sufficient for thee, the Lord said. And he learned about peace. Paul knew his end. He had seen into the third heaven. He knew he was going to be martyred for Christ. But he had peace. Because he's in God's will. Peace, peace, peace. It's not about the Palestinians. It's not about the West Bank. It's about your walk with Jesus Christ. Biden could get saved, do the right things. Trump could get in there and do the right things for 100 years. And true peace is not going to come until Jesus Christ comes back. But you can have it in you because he lives in you. The fellowship of his sufferings. In verse 8 it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." We see the fatigue of God's people. Sometimes you get wore out. Amen. I mean, I've told you before, me and Sister Shirley and Brother Jim talked about this often. The devil is always busy on Saturdays. Saturday day and Saturday night. I guess it's probably like that for all preachers, but Saturday night he's probably not bugging you too much because he's at my house. I guarantee it. Right before I got to come and try to do something for the Lord, show up and just be used any way I can, the devil's just against it. There's always stuff going on Saturday. Always stuff going on Saturday night. Always an attack, it seems like. He's wearing out the saints. But our strength doesn't come from us. It comes from him, from Jesus Christ. Paul said, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Jesus Christ said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Amen. Our weakness allows his strength to guide and to uphold us. The fatigue of God's people. Verse 9, he says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead." The fellowship of his suffering, the fatigue of his people. Now we see the faith to go on. The faith to go on. You will never make it if your faith is in you. You will. Hey, your faith can't be in man. It's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. Your faith cannot be in man, period. If your faith is in another human being, they will let you down. If your faith is in yourself, you will let you down. The Word of God will never let you down. The words of God will never let you down. I feel sorry for the folks that think they might lose it, or I might lose it, but I'm not losing my salvation. Amen. My wife's the one who probably loses it. She's been stuck with me for almost 30 years now. But the faith to go on, that faith has to be placed in him. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We talk about this over and over and over again. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Read your Bible. So I just need more faith. Yeah, you need more faith, and you need to take the faith you got, put it in the right place. And you get that by reading your Bible. Amen. I'm a Bible believer. I don't agree with everything all the other Bible believers believe, but I'm a Bible believer. I'm probably wrong on some things, and they're probably wrong on some things, but I'm a Bible believer. Amen. I believe the book. That's why I tell you this hokey-pokey baloney that's going on out there about just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right, you believe. That easy believe that, hey, you got to be lost before you can get saved. Give people the truth. say, well, I've heard this message before. Okay, are you doing any more than you were when you heard the first time? Because if you're not telling people they're going to die and burn in hell, you don't have to do that to everybody. You don't have to go to everybody's house and say, you're going to hell, sinner. But they've got to understand what the Bible says about heaven and hell. They have to understand, and it's the Scripture. I'm telling you, leave them a track. If you witness to them, leave them a track, because our words are not where the power is. The power is in the Word of God. That's why I'm so excited about that postcard thing, getting it in the mailbox and them having the Word of God. They have to make a decision to read the Word of God and accept it or throw it in the trash. If they don't hear it, they don't have to make that decision. They're going to have to make that decision. And you know what that book says? It won't return void. You know, the Word of God, it says the Word of God runneth very swiftly. They can't outrun that book. Amen? They can't outrun that Scripture. Tried it before. Amen? It don't work. God takes a lot bigger steps than we do. And He does it with His Word. Amen. The faith to go on comes from God. Look at verse 10. Oh man, this is good stuff. Who delivered us from so great a death. There's your salvation. And doth deliver. Boy, He'll protect you from yourself and deliver you from self if you let Him. Amen. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. The future of the believers. You want to be able to stay in the fight? Put your faith in Jesus Christ and realize what you have to look forward to. Now, I know, you know, boast not thyself tomorrow. I understand that. But I also understand we have a future with Jesus Christ because of the blood of Christ and because of us calling on His name. He's paid it all. We have something to look forward to the lost world don't have. We have something that we can look forward to that saved people that don't understand the Bible don't get a chance to look forward to. A lot of people out there that are saved, they're just hoping and praying they might make it still. Because after they got saved, the devil come along and messed them up. And then there's some people out there that never really trusted Christ to start with. They're lost and they think they're saved. And then you got a bunch of people that are saved that act like they're lost and they got nothing to live for. We've got everything to live for. Matter of fact, we're going to live forever. One of these days, if the Lord don't rapture us out of here before my death, they're going to cart me off and put me in a hole 6 foot deep. Not me, there's this flesh. They're going to cart one of my worst enemies off. They're going to put it in a hole in the ground. People are going to go, that's too bad. Oh, okay, let's go have lunch. Amen. Yeah. And every once in a while, though, you know, I remember that guy. Remember when he did this? Remember when he did that? Well, wouldn't it be nice if I said, remember when he preached about Jesus? Amen. Remember when Grandma told us about the Lord? Remember when Grandpa, we were going through some stuff, and Grandpa told us he was praying for us? Remember how just like Isaac getting his wife, God lined that thing out so we knew God was in it? Remember that? Amen. But I'm going to live forever. I do. I'm a preacher. I preach a lot of funerals. And I say, well, I preach so-and-so's funeral. I didn't preach their funeral if they're saved. I just preached, you know, about somebody who used to be here in flesh. Now they're gone. Ain't their funeral. They don't have one. They're living forever. They graduated. Amen. But the future of the believer. Singing that song, oh, how I love Jesus. If you love Him, you'll read His book. Amen? If you really love Him, you'll submit to His words. And if you really learn to love like Him, you might be accused of being a Christian. A real Christian. Amen? But the whole thing is, the whole point is not so we can be beat up and hurt and abused and a life full of chastening. The whole point is for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and everything that we've been through, everything that we go through individually and everything we go through as a church, the devil intends to use a lot of that as destruction. And God wants to use that to make us more like Him. When somebody walks through these doors, they ought to feel the love of Christ, the presence of Christ. I'll also get the truth. And if they walk out because of the truth, so be it. Amen? This is a church. You know what a church really is supposed to do? A real church, a real local New Testament church is supposed to preach the truth. If they want somebody to rub their back, they can go down to the massage therapist. Amen. If they want somebody that cares about their soul and to love them and show them grace and mercy, try to be a comfort to them, this should be the place. This should be the place. And I believe it is. But I also believe that we all struggle. And somewhere in this grace and peace and mercy and comfort, and maybe the fatigue of the people, I think we all get a little hit by that message. Maybe we all realize that this is real. And this is a battle over souls. And God has chosen you and me to be in His army. Amen. What a blessing. I'm an old man. If we had a war, I'd be one of the last guys they called to the war. But it don't matter if you're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. If you're breathing God's air and you're saved, you're called to battle. Amen? What a blessing. I mean, the United States government look at me and say, well, he's got 20 pounds, 30 pounds overweight. Yeah, he's got a bad knee, a bad ankle, a messed up shoulder, a broken finger. That guy's he's a liability. We put him out on the field, all we're going to do is spend money on him, keep him limping along. He's going to get shot by some young guy. It's quicker than him anyway. Why fool with that guy? You know what God says? I'll use you. I got 66 calibers of book. And I'll give you the ammunition. And all you got to do is fire away. If we'll all pray, and we'll all study, and we'll all be faithful, God will just keep doing what He does. And we can just stand in awe of Him and His amazing works that He does in, on, and through us until He calls us home. Amen? We've got to be on focus, and that focus is on the future. We are working for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and one day He's going to come back and sit on the throne of David and literally rule and reign here. And that peace that everybody's imagined, they'll be able to look at it. He is peace. Father, we love You and thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the blood You shed on Calvary according to Your word in Acts 20:28. Thank You for Your mercy and grace, for the peace and comfort You give us. And Lord, help us to love like You love and be like You are. We know that we're supposed to give the truth in love, but in love does not negate the truth. Help us to speak truth to a lost and dying world in Your will. Give us the strength to keep on keeping on. And Lord, increase our faith. Help us to focus on living a life that brings You honor and glory. It's all about You. Help us to not just say it with our lips, but mean it in our heart. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.